I want to talk to you today about what God wants. What does God want? So we're going to look at John 15 at some point. If you want to head there, I am going to read several passages before that, setting us up for our main text. So you, if you're one of those people that you're real quick with your phone or your iPad or whatever you're using, or you're just really a fast page flipper, I will tell you where we are and I will read to you, but I won't give you a lot of time to turn just because I don't want to take all that time. But I do want you to get to John 15 mostly. That's the main text that I want you to be looking at when I read it. And if you want, just jot down the rest of the references if you're not someone who can move quickly. So I was thinking about this week. It kind of woke up with this on my heart. A lot of times I don't know where I'm going. I've told you this before, until toward the end of the week or even sometimes till Sunday morning. And I prepare things. I work on different things. I've got multiple things going. I've still got a sermon that I comes to mind right now, and the it has to do with all things. We just sang that song, All Things New. And it's on my desktop, and I'm going to get to it one of these days, I think. I'm working on it. You know, it's just one of those things you just work on. A lot of things are in progress. But God sometimes intervenes and says, no, this is this week. And sometimes that's for a reason that I don't even know. It might be for one of you. It might be for somebody who will watch the live stream or somebody who will catch it later and it falls. God has this amazing ability to make everything fall in concert and flow together in ways that are just beyond us as human beings. And so this was on my mind when I woke up. And it's a question that many people ask. What does God want from me? What do you want? You ever feel like asking God that? Like, what do you want? And I get it. And most people believe that there is a God. And by the way, the ones who tell you they believe there's not a God are the ones who try to spend all their time proving there's not a God because they believe in God too. They just don't want to. They don't want to believe. So when you run into one of those people who constantly posts stuff on whatever social media you're on or whatever, and they're like, you know, trying to prove that God doesn't exist and trying to make fun of you because you believe in God, they believe in God as much as you, maybe more. They don't want God to exist. And part of that's because their understanding of who he is and what he wants is probably messed up. There are a lot of people whose idea of what God wants is messed up. Sometimes I'm a person who has it a little messed up. And I think God, you know, it seems like lately especially, God's been talking to me about me. I think he does that a lot with my sermons. So if you don't get anything out of this, this guy right here, he's going to get something today. I'm going to straighten him out. So I think everybody kind of believes in God because, well, I'll give you an example of a scripture that alludes to that. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." Being understood by the things that are made. Being understood by the things that are made. Everything. All the things that he made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse for all those who try to say that God doesn't exist, because it's very evident that God does exist. Whether you want to call him God the way we pronounce it, or you want to give him some other title. How many of you know there are a lot of names of God in the Bible? And no matter how you refer to him, you're recognizing that a higher power exists. And by the way, there are, I guess you would say, higher powers that exist. There are things outside of us that exist out there. But there is one who is the higher power. And that's the one we need to seek after. So I've noticed that even people who have dedicated their lives to God have this question sometimes as well. What does God want from me? So I have a question for you. What if God doesn't want anything from us? And I can see, I can smell the smoke, the wheels are turning, the belts are slipping. People are like, what do you mean by that? You know how I am. I like to dig a hole and see if I can climb out of it. Let's see if I can do that today. But let me just read a couple of passages to you, because maybe God doesn't want anything from us. Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of all the mountains, all the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer thanksgiving." Everybody say thanksgiving. It's coming up this month. "Offer thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Or consider this other passage, Acts 17, verses 22 through 28. "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, they pronounce it different ways, and that's a place in Athens, and at Greece at the time, he was there. He was doing some missions work, and he said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, the one who you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything." Everybody say needed anything. "Needed. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, he made from one blood every nation under men to dwell on the earth or on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings, so that they all should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us." I like that. He's not far from each of us. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring." I'm convinced that God doesn't need anything from me. And I'm convinced that I'm totally replaceable. How many of you think that would be a good, maybe, just replace him? Been here a long time. No, I won't go there. He doesn't want anything from me, but I believe that he wants a lot for me. Let me say that again. I don't believe God wants a lot from me, but I believe he has a whole lot that he wants for me. It's like a lot of us in our relationship to our children. I haven't spent my life looking for my children to meet my needs. And those who do that are fools. That's not the way it's going to work. If you think that they're supposed to provide for you, you've missed the glorious gift that God wants to give. What does the Bible say? It's blessed when you have an inheritance to give to your children's children. And that's not just money. In fact, it's not primarily money. It has been my joy and my pleasure to be able to pour my life into the lives of those kids. And maybe I could have done better. And maybe I should have done better. And Lord knows I want to still do some for them. I do. I want to see them blessed. That's what I want more than anything, is not something from them, but something for them. And I love being there for them. Well, because I love seeing them do well, right? You want to see your kids do, and by the way, it's almost more painful to watch your kids. In fact, it is probably more painful for most of us to watch our kids go through stuff than it is when we go through stuff. Like, we go through the stuff, but when our kids go through the stuff, This is hard. And when and if they do say thanks, that's when I feel the most joy. I like what I did was successful for them. Unlike God, someday I may need their help. I'm glad that my kids were able to watch as we helped our parents, because they're already making plans for me to get old. Yeah, just shut up. But yeah, they have expectations that that day will come, and I think must have done something okay, because, you know, they're already aware, especially my son, you and mom are going to get old. We need to make sure you have this and that, and then he's got this list of things he wants to do to make sure we're okay. Kind of cool. At the same time, like I remember my dad, I'm probably not going to like it much. Right? You really, you know, you've been in gear for a long, 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 long time, and then all of a sudden, you shift gears and yeah. But if I could set things up, and I am trying to make sure I set things up so that my kids are not burdened but blessed with whatever they do in my final days, that's where I want to be. Good news is I'm not going to go until 180, so there you go. I keep saying that. So here's the thing. If God doesn't want something from us, then what does he want for us? Because see, when I start to shift from what God wants from me and start focusing on what God wants for me, I start walking more clearly in the path that he created for me. Because one is for me. And that's the path I want to be on because, well, it's going to be for me, but it's also going to be the path that he created for me. Is this making sense to anybody but me? Yeah, okay, good. So what does it look like to walk that path? And how do we each become that person who, as it said in that last passage of Scripture, find ourselves, we live and move and have our being in him? Now we're to John. So you're at John, we're at John. And look at verse 5 of chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Everybody say nothing. I almost called this sermon nothing doing. Because sometimes I can be pretty good at doing nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I've been raking leaves, and when I rake the leaves, I found some branches. Happens every year. The leaves come down, and then there's some branches that have gotten old, and they come down too. And they don't look healthy. Have you noticed that? When they fall off the tree, they usually don't have any life left in them. In fact, how many of you have got a tree nearby you someplace where there's a dead branch? And it's still there. It's up in the tree, but you can tell it's dead. Not doing anything. It's withered. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Wow, that's a huge promise. I remember discovering that promise. I think I was 15 when I wrote a little song to it. Some of the Jesus people that I knew used to sing it with me. I just turned that verse into a song. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. It was the King James Version. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I could spend a lot of time here today. I'm not going to dissect this completely today, but boy, is there life in chapter 15 of the book of John. It might be something you want to go back and just dig into a little. But here's the thing. Nothing that I do completely on my own has value. Not any real value. But everything I do when I abide in Jesus is super fruitful, super valuable. Even the things that seem like nothing. Even when that was just too easy. Boy, that was easy. How many of you remember? He said, my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes when we're doing what he told us to do the way he told us to do it, we find ourselves really having a good time and enjoying it and relaxing, and it just feels, in fact, it doesn't pull from us, it fills us up. I talked about that a little bit last week. And so I guess this is almost like part two to that. This is what God wants for our lives. This is what God wants for our lives. He wants his life flowing through us. And he wants us to experience the fruitfulness that comes with living like that. He wants us to experience that fruitfulness. And he wants us to experience it all the time. Is God angry at Tim because occasionally he wastes time? I don't think he's really like, oh, can't believe you spent time watching that stupid football game. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Okay. I think you can watch football and still be in the spirit. Well, then I know some people who watch football and I'm not sure what spirit they're in. I'm just saying. You know? And I've been in that spirit myself. What? Why'd you call that play? You know, we got to be careful. We don't have to be careful, actually. But it makes more sense for us to walk in him and rest in him and live and move and have our being in him. And the more we're in him, it's not what he wanted as much as what he wanted for us. So it ought to be what we wanted. Because I've said it so many times, God can't think of something stupid for me to do. So he wants us to experience that fullness, that fruitfulness that comes with just letting ourselves abide in him. I will tell you this. You can tell that you're abiding sometimes, and you can tell when you need to adjust your abiding controls. If you're going down the road, and you start to yell at someone, and then you just settle down. See, you're abiding at that minute. But if you not only start to yell at them, but then you speed up, get next to them, gesture them with some kind of a fist or something, and angrily make them know that you're not happy with them. And how many of you see that you kind of got away from abiding? And you got into something else. By the way, I keep reminding myself of this. I'm still learning this when I'm working on this. But the Bible says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So inasmuch as you've done it to the least of those drivers sitting there at the red light when the light turns green and they're still texting, and you can give them a little, just a little encouragement, but you just honked really hard at Jesus. Come on. Because as much as you've done it to the least, you've done it to him. And so I can see myself. I can see what I've been doing. I can see to what extent I'm abiding. And that becomes a very good thing for me. I want to abide because I know when I abide, that's the sweet spot. And it's not just the sweet spot for him. It's the sweet spot for me. Wow. God wants us positioned so that we get to see our prayers answered. Did you catch that in the text that I read? Yeah, God wants to position us so that we see our prayers answered. And he will let us ask for what? Oh, here we go. Are you ready for this? We will ask what we will. We will ask what we will, and it will be done for us. What? Think about that. We will ask what we will, and if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. That's a pretty heavy thing right there to think about. Well, I don't want to become a selfish Christian. Are you encouraging me to become selfish? No. But when we abide in him, we find our true desires. Anybody besides me ever thought you wanted something and then you realized you didn't? Yeah. Man. I am so glad God didn't give me a couple of the girls I thought I wanted. Whew. Man. That would not have worked. Joy, if you're listening, you were beautiful and you were a sweet girl, but you had two stinking mini shoes. And I would have never been in the ministry because I would have been buying shoes for that lady all the time. And I'm not even saying that's wrong for Joy. But she would have not been very happy with me. Because I would have been like, yeah, let's get rid of them shoes. As it is, though, my wife's doing pretty good on the shoe front. I'm just saying, you know, she's all right. The Lord's blessed her with some shoes. When we abide in him, we find our true desire, and from that will flow more than we could ever want or need. If we can find ourselves fully abiding, the more fully I abide in him, the more I find all my wants and needs being taken care of. Does that mean that I've reached a point where I have no wants or needs? No. I also haven't reached a point where I fully abide. And sometimes when I see wants and needs, I need to ask myself, is there an abiding thing going on here? Am I missing something when it comes to abiding? See how that works? That might be a clue that I need to get back into that place where I live and move and have my being in him so that I can figure out why these other things aren't working out the way I expected, knowing that I've learned over my life many times that the way I expected wasn't always what God had in mind for me. And when I get his mind, I have the right mind. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, we've all heard this. Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all truth so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That's why that nothing doing thing was on my mind, because there have been a lot of times when I was just doing nothing and I should have been saying nothing doing. I'm not going over there, but that's not how I responded to it. Without him, without love, God is love, right? Without love, everything we do is nothing. But when we do things in love, everything we do is lined up with his purpose and his will, and it's full of fruitfulness. I don't know that we understand fruitfulness like people in the world understand fruitfulness. For centuries, everybody was going around looking for fruit. They were trying to create fruit. They were trying to tend different crops so they could have fruit. Now, fruitfulness for us is Walmart. Just walk down and pick it off a shelf. And it's almost always there. It was interesting that during the last couple of years, during the pandemic, there were times when there weren't things there, weren't there? And now, they're there, you just can't afford them, right? I saw a picture of a shopping cart, and underneath of it, the captain said, the most expensive vehicle to maintain these days. Yeah. But yeah, nothing. It may not be nothing in the sense of it doesn't exist. It may be nothing in the sense that it's meaningless. And maybe that's what we have to sometimes think. Is this really bringing meaning to my life and to the purpose that God has for my life? It's a tough one. I was thinking of it partly reminds me of, I've got a lot of Black and Decker things now. A leaf blower and a weed whacker and, you know, a little vacuum and the list goes on. I've got three different drills and, you know, I've got all these things that operate off these little Black and Decker batteries. And when the batteries are dead, I don't really function very effectively. I have to have that flow, or I'm just looking at it going, dun, 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 you know, it doesn't do anything. I want to have an impact with my life. And God wants me to have the joy of the impact that he wanted me to have, that he created me to have. So everything with Jesus has eternal value, and everything without him is, at best, something temporary. Luke 12, 16 through 21 says, he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will be store, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There are a lot of, and they've missed out on the point of living, and they look successful. Have you ever noticed that successful people commit suicide too? Yeah. I'm alive. I'm really alive. I'm fully alive. When I'm alive in him, when I abide in him. So, let me finish up with this little reminder. This is John 14, verse 12. I decided to read it out of a version, the New Christian Version. I'm not sure what it is, NCV, in case you're following along. But I pulled a different one, because I like how this says it. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. And those who believe in me will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. As we close this morning, I was thinking maybe we could do something that Jesus did. What's that, Pastor Tim? Well, let's just all stand up. Just everybody stand up, if you can. Now get close to somebody. Somebody you're not nervous about getting close to. Yeah, get close to somebody. People are wandering around looking for somebody they can get close to. So do you remember that after Jesus had raised from the dead, that he went into where the disciples were and he looked at them and it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Just breathe on somebody and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Breathe on somebody. Say, receive the Holy Spirit. No, I mean really. Share your halitosis with them. Some of you are like, I should have brushed my teeth two more times. Yeah, you know what? Just go find somebody else. Now change partners. Go find somebody else and breathe on somebody else. And just look at them and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't be afraid. You can do this. Yeah, some of you are like grabbing people, you know. Receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right, we're going to pray. Oh, thank you. Whew. Kurt blew at me. I'm getting it now. I'm getting it. Whoa, come on. See, we ought to be praying for each other to have more of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, we don't walk according to the flesh. When we walk in the Spirit, we're abiding in Him. When we walk in the Spirit, God is doing amazing things in our lives. He just wants us to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, have experiences in the Spirit. I'm not putting down what you know up here. Although, if you're anything like me, there's a limit right here. That's got a limit to it up here, this thing right here. But my heart can be filled with the Spirit. And when it's filled with the Spirit, it can transform my mind so that I begin to think like He thinks. It's just all good, isn't it? So let's pray. We're going to finish this morning with a prayer. Holy Spirit, You are invited to do more in us than You've been doing up till this time. We just say more, Lord, for each of us. Increase the awareness of Your presence, Lord, in us. Increase the ability to abide by the Spirit that's in us, having Your Holy Spirit work with our spirit, moving us, changing us, making us more like You. May we find ourselves walking through places today, just aware that You're there. May we find ourselves, whether we go home and eat or go someplace and order food, no matter what we do, Lord, let us find ourselves just sensing and being aware that You are more than ready to be there every single moment. You are more than ready to be there. And so we just say more, Lord, more on Your people. Put more on them as we just declare over each other, more of Your Spirit, Lord, more of Your presence, more walking in You, more abiding in You. Let us, Lord, be those people who truly do bring earth a little bit of heaven everywhere we go. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people shouted,
Amen. Amen.